I think that that is the danger with it. I don't think that it should be the regular diet of a church because of that very reason. And the other part is that inevitably, if I were to choose topics, I would choose the topics which I am personally interested in or invested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would actually detract from other people's, you know, understanding of the Bible. It would not be fair to them. But I think on occasion, if you don't do it, if you don't ever do it, then you're actually doing your people a disservice as well. Because as we see with Jesus, with the apostles, I mean, there are times when people need you to speak into a topic and help them understand what the Bible says about it.
Hey guys, welcome to the Expositors Collective podcast. I'm your host, Mike Neglia. Thanks for listening. You know, for this episode, I get to sit down with my friend, Nick Cady, and I get to ask him questions about the preaching of topical sermons. You know, even if you are a serious expository teaching enthusiast like myself, from time to time, you're going to preach topical sermons. And you know what? There's better and worse ways to do that. There's ways to teach topically that honor not only the theme, but the teaching of the whole Bible. And there's ways to do it in a sloppy, careless way that does violence against the text. I get to sit down with Nick Cady and learn how to teach and preach topically in ways that honors the text and helps our congregation. Now, if you're interested in growing as a Bible teacher, if you want to honor the text and help your congregation, then you're definitely going to want to hear this. Our third ever Expositors Collective webinar is happening Saturday, December 5th. It's going to be taking place 9 a.m. West Coast U.S. time. And we have a great West Coast speaker. We have Pastor Thomas Terry from Trinity Church, Portland. He also is the owner of Humble Beast Records. He also is a performance artist with the beautiful Eulogy. And he's going to be speaking to us about being a preacher after God's own heart. So I invite you to follow the link for the Eventbrite sign up. The link will be in the show notes of this episode. We're also going to be putting it up on our various social media channels. And reserve your spot. The event is no cost to you, but the benefit will be great. The audio will be recorded and it will be released as an episode eventually. So if you're not able to make it live, then you'll hear the content. But if you sign up and if you're there, you're going to get a chance to ask questions in real time. You'll also get a chance to participate in something that we think is so important at the Expositors Collective, which is the collective part of it. So much of preaching and teaching is a solitary and sometimes lonely exercise of sitting at a desk and writing things out. We believe it's important and valuable to have times where we gather together and learn so that we can serve God and serve His people better. So you're invited once again, December 5th, 9 a.m. Western time, to our third ever webinar featuring Pastor Thomas Terry. Okay, now Nick Cady and I are going to speak about the practice of preaching topical sermons. All right, hey, Nick Cady, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Nick, so what time is it there in Colorado?
It is 10:15 a.m.
Okay, well, it's 5:15 p.m. here in Cork, and I'm glad to be talking to you.
Is it getting dark there yet?
Not yet, but let me say, it is, my work day is over, but I'm staying at the office because this conversation is a conversation worth having.
Great, I'm looking forward to it.
And it's my daughter's birthday, too, so I just want to say, like, the listeners to this conversation, like, I am sacrificing birthday time to be here with you.
Wow, I'm not sure this is a good idea, Mike, but now that we're doing it, we got to just see it through.
Well, I'm picking up pizza on the way home, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. I love my daughter so much, and we've had plenty of great times, and the pizza is the mere formality at the end of a birthday week celebration.
Okay.
Do you know what we're talking about today? You know. We're talking about topical preaching, the much maligned, the suspiciously viewed topical preaching. So why are we talking about this today, Nick?
Well, in part, it's because this isn't a topic we've ever talked about, right? So this is, we're over 100 episodes in. How many episodes now exactly?
Oh, I think 120, I think, maybe 130.
Wow. Yeah. So we haven't talked about this, and it kind of came on my radar too, because somebody asked, hey, do you guys have an episode about topical preaching? And I talked to you, Mike, and I think we were like, I don't think we do. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it's in our name, right? The Expositors Collective. And we're big on sequentially working our way through books or sections of the Bible. But yet that's not all that a preacher does. Am I right?
That's true. In fact, I would argue that Jesus was a topical preacher, and therefore to teach like Jesus means sometimes to teach topically.
Oh, that's controversial. See, I had a drop the mic sentence as well, but I was going to say the Apostle Paul was sometimes a topical preacher. I'm thinking of the book of Corinthians, where there's sections where he just addresses topics, and those topics were things that his congregation had asked him about. They asked him about marriage or lawsuits or sexuality, and so he addresses these topics bit by bit. But there's Paul, and then there's Jesus, and so you just came out with the big guns right away.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Apostle Peter as well on the day of Pentecost, I mean, he's giving an explanation of what is happening, and he uses multiple scriptures to do it from the Old Testament, but he says, here's what's happening, and he explains it.
Okay.
So it's a topical message.
Yeah. So do you preach topical messages?
I do preach topical messages. So on occasion, we'll do topical series. And every now, I usually don't do like one-off messages. It's pretty rare that I do a one-off message. If I get asked to speak somewhere, maybe I'll do a one-off message. But in my church, if I do a topical thing, it'll usually be a topical series. But here is my next drop the mic statement, Mike, which is that I would argue that actually every message I teach is a topical message, even when I'm teaching verse by verse through the Bible.
What? What? You want to say that again? Are you kidding me?
Every message I preach, even when I teach verse by verse through books of the Bible consecutively, I would argue that it is and should be a topical message.
Okay. So let's say as you're teaching through Kings, which I know that you're doing right now, so they're going to be hearing about topics and themes, and you're intentionally focusing on a topic more than you're focusing on the verses themselves?
Well, I wouldn't say more. Okay. In fact, I would say this is the essence of what expository preaching is. And actually, so, you know, David Guzik, when he does his talk at the beginning of our training weekends, one of the things he says is that it's possible to teach verse by verse expositorially. It's also possible to teach verse by verse and not be expository. Then he also says it's also possible to teach a topical message expositorially. So here's what Martin Lloyd-Jones says. My thoughts on expository preaching were really shaped by two books I read. One was by Martin Lloyd-Jones. The other one was about Martin Lloyd-Jones a few years ago. And so obviously the one by Martin Lloyd-Jones was Preaching and Preachers. But the one about him, I forget what it was called. It was like the free book of the month on ChristianAudio.com. And it was like a short biography on him. And it had just this one section in which he talked about
is it
his...
This?
I have that one.
Was it Logic on Fire?
I have that one, but it wasn't that one. No,
oh,
no,
man, I was like, this is amazing. I have it right here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great book. This one was just a short biography, and I remember, I think it was chapter 3, talked about his preaching method, and it had some quotes from him in which he basically said this. He said that preaching verse by verse isn't always expository. The essence of expository preaching is to expose the meaning of the text. And the way that you do that is by not just reading the verses, but reading them, giving the context, explaining them, but also explaining the big idea or the theme that those verses touch on. He would say any section of scripture is going to touch on some topic of theology, some argument that's being made, some apologetics, etc. And then we want to bring in other verses from the Bible to support that argument. And you're essentially making an argument like a good lawyer would. You're building up to a climax, which, again, the climax is not dictated by what do I want people to do. It's what does the text determine that people should do as a result of this text. So in that way, yeah. So I'm teaching through 2 Kings right now. And this Sunday, I'm teaching a section which I was a little bit worried about because I wasn't sure where to go with it. But here's the section. It's chapter 5 okay. of 2 Kings, verses 15 through 27. I'm going to teach them verse by verse. But as I do that, I'm looking for the big idea of the section that kind of ties it together. What is this section teaching? And in the section, you see that Naaman has just been healed of leprosy. And you see his reaction to being healed of leprosy. His reaction is that he wants to build an altar to God. He swears off worshiping the god of his home country, the Syrians, named Rimmon. He swears off doing that, and he is contrite. He asks for forgiveness for the times when he's gone into the temple of Rimmon and bowed down. Then in contrast to that, you see Gehazi, who is the servant of Elisha, and he does something treacherous. He lies. He deceives both Elisha and Naaman by going after Naaman and saying, you know, because Naaman had offered Elisha some money. Elisha said no. And then Gehazi's like, what? Free money? You're going to let that get away? So he chases them down, literally runs after them and gets some money and then comes back. He lies to Elisha about it, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the end, he's cursed by having leprosy put on him. And so what is the common theme between those two things? Well, the common theme is what I'm calling like vital signs, right? And just kind of going along with what Jesus said, that by their fruits, you will know them. Looking at like James, faith without works is dead. And other verses that talk about this idea that there are fruits of repentance, for example, and there are also vital signs which show if you're in danger. So that is the topic that I'm going to be teaching, is this idea of how our outward actions, we aren't judged or justified based on them, but they serve as important vital signs which show us if we have reason for concern. Kind of like 1 Peter, right? Like, or 2 Peter, he says, add to your faith virtue so that you can make your calling and election sure.
So you'll be working your way through that passage. And so will you be highlighting how the outer life is showing the inner life of both Naaman and Gehazi?
Exactly.
Okay. So it sounds like you are not going to be bouncing from section to section, pulling out proof texts, but that you, as you journey through 2 Kings 5 or 2 Kings 5, that you are going to just be highlighting a consistent topic that comes throughout it. And that gets the focus, that gets the most words devoted to it. Whereas the other ones, while they set the stage, it's not the topic that you're focusing on.
Right. And so I am going to bring in other texts from the Bible to show that this is a theme that runs throughout all of Scripture. And what do other parts of the Bible have to say about that? But let's put it this way. It's like I'm traveling down a street. I never stray from the street, which is the text.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing in other things to say, okay, see, here's why this idea isn't unique here. This is something that's taught throughout the Bible. It was taught by Jesus, taught by the apostles. Here's an example of it in the Old Testament. And as I'm doing that, I'm also going to teach every verse. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not just going to say, hey, here's this verse, read it, and then make some comments that are disconnected from all the other comments I'm going to say throughout the time.
Okay. So that's an interesting take on topical messages. And maybe in a few minutes time, we can talk about maybe the classical understanding of topical messages, which is someone saying, for example, I want to teach a sermon on how important it is for faith to have works. And so they pull in all those things. So they're not given like a street at all. There's not a main story that you pull in other things into, but it's just a collection of, you know, concordance links of those things. But that's, I like what you're saying, you know, kind of, I was, you know, mocking, or it was mock shock, as you were saying, that all of your sermons are topical. Because, like, there should be a focus, there should be a theme. And as I've been referencing a couple of different times, not every verse is going to be given equal time. Some of them are going to be prioritized, and you're prioritizing these various themes. I'm impressed that it's, you know, for me, it's Tuesday afternoon. For you, it's Tuesday morning, and you already have such a clear idea of where your Sundays are going to be. That's great.
It's part of a process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about it in other podcasts that we'll link about why you're so organized. For me, it's Tuesday afternoon, which means I should be more advanced than I am at this stage. But I'm doing John 11:45 to John 12:11. Which is the end of the Lazarus story, where it begins. The end of Lazarus is like, there's the hearers, the religious leaders. They say that they're going to put Jesus to death because of what he did to Lazarus. And then at the end of the section, we have this reference in John chapter 12, where it says that they're going to put Lazarus to death because of Jesus. And so I was like, huh, that's interesting. This kind of this pericope, or this chiastic structure, where there's like Jesus dying for Lazarus, and then we have Lazarus dying for Jesus, or at least there's the threat of that. It's like, okay, huh, interesting. And then in the middle, we have Mary pouring out the oil on Christ, anointing him for his burial. It's like, okay, I'm this is just a work in progress. Maybe you could help me, maybe not. But there's a theme that goes through there. You know, I see there's a theme of the sacrifice that's taking place there, that Jesus is willing to give his life for Lazarus. We have that Mary is willing to give her oil for Christ. And so there is going to be a theme of sacrifice somehow, but it's still a work in progress. We'll see how it goes. Do you have any advice for me? How can I make this a topical sermon?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say pull out that big idea. And a lot of things, this is really something I've started doing a lot this last week, is I've always tried to do this where I say, okay, let's bring this down to one sentence. If I could summarize this in one sentence. But something I've been doing really since March now, I've been actually having a sentence that I put on the screen, and I actually use that sentence as my outline, but it keeps us laser focused, right? Like on this idea, so that you can't stray away from it. And that actually takes a lot of time. I spent 1 hour yesterday, one whole hour writing a sentence, and that it felt painful. But once I have that, my gosh, it's so helpful in giving direction. So, I mean, my advice would be, and it sounds like you have a great idea there, and a great, you know, observation. So I would just say, stick with that thing about sacrifice and draw that out. That sounds great. But in what you're saying, I mean, anytime a preacher chooses text, you know, they're going to teach from this verse to this verse as they're teaching through a book of the Bible. The question is, why are you choosing to stop where you stop? Are you choosing because your thought process goes, well, these are all the verses that I can get through in 40 minutes or 50 minutes, and therefore I'll just stop when I run out of time? Or will I say, I'm going to choose this section, even if it's short, even if it's long? It might end up being 2-3 verses. It might end up being 2 chapters. I'm doing that because I see an idea or a thread that runs through all of these that is a topic that I want to bring out to my listeners.
Yeah, that's vital. I love that. That it's not just a matter of, well, I'm out of time, so I'll stop. But it's like, what completes this thought, rather than just, oh, well, would you look at the time? Let's close our Bibles and pray. That's and it takes thought. And man, I hear you with the what you were saying earlier on about having a sentence. You know, I have not been doing it since March. I've been trying to do it for the past year or two or three or four, you know, and I don't do it every week because honestly, it's a lot of work. And And it does really take time. But when it happens, you know, when you can find that one sentence that fits everything together, it's a gift to your hearers. Last week I had Jesus alone can raise the dead and empower our ongoing existence. And that encompasses all of, you know, chapter 11 up until verse 44 where I stopped. But, you know, he raises the dead and he empowers ongoing existence. He is the resurrection and the life. And he raised Lazarus, but then he also says, take off the grave clothes, because his goal is not just to make Lazarus not dead, but his goal is to make Lazarus alive. And then from that, the application is, and he wants to do the same for you. He wants you to have this life.
Amazing.
I know. I know. It took a long time to think of that sentence. But what that does is it summarizes, you know, 44 verses. It's a long section, but you can take a sentence from there, summarize it, and then refer back to it again and again. And, you know, honestly, I wish I did it more. And I'm glad, you know, I'm not surprised because you are Nick Cady. You're the guy who gets things done. So I'm not surprised that you're able to do it every single week. But it is work. It really is work, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, and so, Mike, you had said, let's talk about more traditional topical message. Because in a way, that's probably not what this person who asked us was asking for.
Certainly, we baited and switched them. here's a podcast on topical preaching. Guess what? It's actually on expository preaching. All right, let's pivot. Yeah.
Okay, so with topical messages, I would say there's definitely a place for it. I mean, people need to be taught on topics. You know, this is the idea of like systematic theology, and it's important. But I think there are ways that you can do it that are effective and ways that you can do it that are not effective. I remember I was a brand new Christian. I got invited to my friend's church, and it was like a Wednesday night, and the guy literally read out of a concordance all of the verses on peace, and there were like 80 of them. It took an hour and a half. And at the end, like the last thing I felt was peace. I just wanted to die. Like, stop reading, because it was not helpful. And that's sometimes what people do. Okay, I'm going to teach a topical message on this topic. So they pull out the concordance and they just like machine gun you with Bible verses. And I just don't think that is effective, nor is it expository. So we're the Expositors Collective, right? So I would say that if you're going to teach a topical message, it should also be expository. So the way I'll do it, this is generally my practice, is that if I'm going to teach a topical message, I will find a text to base it in, and I will teach expositorily through that text to reveal that topic. So a good example of this, earlier this year, we taught a three-week series on faith. And part of the reason was because we were doing a move as a church that required a step of faith, and so we wanted to talk about that. So the way I did it is I took three passages. One of them was from the book of Numbers, one was from the book of Joshua, and the third one was from the book of Hebrews. And what I had is a topic for each week on an aspect of faith, right? So one was that the reward of faith is deeper relationship with God. So that was, what is the reward of faith? But it was an aspect of faith. So I personally find it, I know that this isn't always possible, but if you're going to teach on a topic, it's really helpful if you have a couple weeks to look at it from different angles. Mm-hmm. Then you can expose or exposit different sections of scripture which touch on that angle. Now, let's say you only have 1 week. I would still do the same thing. I would say, okay, I'm going to teach on divorce and remarriage, which I don't really want to teach on, but if I had to, then I would find a text, like, for example, what Jesus says about it. I would teach that, and I would keep that my ground, like my grounding scripture that keeps me focused and centered. And from there, I would refer out to other parts, but I would essentially teach through that text in an expository way, in using those other verses only as support.
Okay, but pulling in, let's say, maybe more supporting verses than usual for those types of things. Okay. Yeah. And I think an advantage, and again, I was kind of saying earlier on that, you know, they're the much maligned topical sermons. I think, you know, they're maligned because they can be done really poorly, or mm-hmm. because it almost is like it's an act of trust that the congregation has to the preacher to say, we believe that what you're showing us and selecting it and what you've selected for us actually is an accurate representation of the whole of Scripture. And some people, frankly, don't deserve that trust or have shown themselves to be untrustworthy. And by pulling in only aspects of God's word that agree with their, you know, preconceived notion or their personality type, they can give this image of God's word as, you know, coincidentally agreeing with them on everything. And this sequential tends to limit that, or it tends to make that harder to do. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're good. So I think that that is the danger with it. I don't think that it should be the regular diet of a church because of that very reason. And the other part is that inevitably, if I were to choose topics, I would choose the topics which I am personally interested in or invested in. And that would actually detract from other people's, you know, understanding of the Bible. It would not be fair to them. So, but I think on occasion, if you don't do it, if you don't ever do it, then you're actually doing your people a disservice as well. Because as we see with Jesus, with the apostles, I mean, there are times when people need you to speak into a topic and help them understand what the Bible says about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we, along with so many other preachers, we've experienced, you know, this lockdown, this stay-at-home thing. You know, in Ireland, today is October 6th. We just are starting a lockdown again. So we're in our second lockdown. And I remember for the first one, you know, I preached about 3 weeks of topical sermons, as many people did. Did you as well?
I started that quarantine with this section on faith, actually. And so it actually shaped a lot of how what I said about faith. I had originally intended the series to be mostly about the step of faith we were making as a church and moving into the building, but it absolutely shifted into being, okay, so we're moving into a building, that's a step of faith, but also we're in this pandemic and here's how this topic of faith applies to it.
Hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we have, it's an opportunity as the whole church, the whole country, the whole world is experiencing this together. It's a good time to say, hey, here's what God says to this situation. Here's what God speaks to those of us that are experiencing anxiety or we're tempted to lose faith. And so during times like this, it's valuable to be able to address, whether it's through the passage you're already planning on teaching or through a topical thing, you know, God's voice has truth for you in your anxiety, in your fear, in this stay-at-home condition that we're in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I did stuff on anxiety, I did stuff on fear, and then, you know, but I'm actually not that good of a topical preacher. You know, it's not how I work. And so after about 3 weeks, I was like, I have run out of topics. And so I'm just going to go back to the Gospel of John because I am not that creative. But it's good to be able to address things. Here's something. I came across this quote a while ago. I found it in my notebook. This is Dr. Ramesh Richard. He's at Dallas Seminary. It says Western on your board behind you. So he's from Dallas Seminary. He says that a topical sermon can be like an aspirin to fix your headache. He says expository preaching is like multivitamins that you take so that you get less headaches. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it's kind of biased, and it's kind of obviously he has a view that we share that expository is a good regular rhythm. But saying that a topical sermon is like aspirin, like something is itching, something's wrong. And so this addresses this. This will fix your headache. And so I enjoy the specificity that we can get with a topical sermon.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that there is a really, really important place for it. So one thing that I did it last year and I did the same thing the year before. We didn't do it this year, but we might do it again next year. And that's this, is that I taught a 6-week sermon the first time. The next time it became a 9-week series on questions that people generally have about the Bible. And this is everything from, is Christianity, you know, how can Christianity be so exclusive? You know, why does it talk about in the Old Testament? Like, does it seem like it's condoning the killing of children, genocide, things like that? Kind of the tough topics that people tend to ask. And we dealt with those. And what those have become is a great resource for our church. They're obviously the most shared sermons on our podcast and things like that, because you know, it's easy. It's really nice when you have a topic that is kind of self-contained that you can send out to somebody and say, "Hey, I know a sermon about, or I know a message about that exact topic." So you're also giving your church resources, not just aspirin, I think. You're giving them tools.
Right. Yeah. I think maybe Ramesh was a little bit dismissive of them. But, and yeah, so you and I, we've spoken about those. Aren't those, when you say that these are frequently shared sermons, you don't necessarily mean that someone pushes the share button, because don't you put them on SD cards? Is that it? Or memory sticks?
Yeah. Yeah, we do put them on memory sticks. We've handed them out at festivals, running races here in our city. And we hand them out to people in the church to take and give to people. So we really encourage them to take them physically, hand them, put them in someone's hand, that kind of thing.
And yeah, because it is a lot more, let's say, immediately shareable, as you know, to say, "Hey, you were asking questions about like the goodness of God in the face of, you know, starvation. Hey, actually, Pastor Nick preached about this recently." And that is, while of course, wouldn't it be great if someone said, "Hey, here's a verse by verse study through Ezekiel. It blew my mind. I want you to have it." It more likely is going to scratch the itch or the felt need or the vital question of if God is good, then why is there suffering?
Yeah, and maybe that that quote isn't, you know, as much as that might immediately kind of, you might have some pushback, maybe that is exactly what he's saying, right? It's dealing with the itch that needs to be scratched, the headache that needs to be taken care of immediately before you can have the diet of, "Hey, let's study verse by verse through Ezekiel."
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I've done topical series before, and the most famous, I shouldn't say famous, but the most like well-beloved series I ever did was like 3 or 4 years ago. It was a long time ago, Nick, and people still talk about it. I did the 7 Deadly Sins, and people just loved it. And, you know, the stats, people download it all the time. People reference it. And I'm like, "All right, come on, guys. Like, I've preached like 40 other books of the Bible. You so much. Why do you care about the one on sin? What about the ones on, like, the glory of God or his forgiveness?" But I think there is that thing, because people are like, you know, like gluttony or slothfulness, it maybe immediately addresses people in a way that, you know, John chapter 11 hasn't hit them yet.
Well, that's something to be said for that, Mike, because I listened to your message on slothfulness.
Are you serious?
Because I said, "I need to hear a message on slothfulness," because I was teaching through 2 Thessalonians.
Really?
And I said, "You know who has a message on slothfulness? The only message I know of is Mike Neglia." So I went and listened to it, and it was super helpful.
Wow.
But I think that is kind of the key,
right?
Don't
tell him that. Tell him my other sermons are good too.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a topic that's kind of wrapped up, you know, in one little package, you know, sometimes you're creating resources that people can use and say, "Okay, I'm not sure I want to study all of John 11, but I do want to know more about this topic." I mean, that's very helpful. Like I said, not a diet, but definitely tools and resources.
Yeah. Well, certainly. Well, hey, so kind of like wrapping this up, like, how would you, you're a systematic guy. How would you put together a topical study? You know, if I could give you a topic, how would you do one on, let's say, for example, sacrifice? Would you, okay. could you please, how would you walk through, you know, and this is obviously, you know, this is kind of like improv, but putting together a topic, a topical sermon on sacrifice, where would you go? What would be the things that you'd look at? What would be a responsible way to do that?
So yeah, in a systematic way, just shooting from the hip right now, I would say the way I would approach it is this. My introduction would be to build a tension that deals with sacrifice, that says, you know, "Hey, what are some areas where you feel that, or where you sacrifice, where you feel that people have made great sacrifices? Why do you consider that a good thing? Why is that culturally honored to say, oh, you know, hey, we appreciate these people who make these great sacrifices? You know, what are some ways in which you feel that you have made sacrifices?" And then I would try to show them, "Okay, but something's still missing," or ask them the question, "Why do you feel that way?" I mean, if I, you know, if I run into a burning building and say, let me show you how much I love you, and I just run in there and die, why is that a good thing? You know? So I would try to build a tension in that way. The next thing I would do is I would find a passage which talks about sacrifice. And like I said, I would work my way through it. I'd bring in other passages from other parts of the Bible to support that idea or to shed light on it. And then, of course, I would land the plane on Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, and the fact that it's not we who sacrifice for Jesus, but he who sacrificed for us. Everything we do and is a response to that. That's kind of the structure I would follow.
Excellent. Man, I took notes because I'm preaching that on Sunday. I'm just going to throw in some John 11 and 12 and bada bing, bada boom.
I'm going to listen to it. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that's it. So that's your structure. So you kind of introduce the need, and then and you've said this multiple times, but I just want to restate it for the hearers in case they missed it. So you're not just typing the word sacrifice into your Logos Bible software and then seeing what comes up, but looking for like a verse where it really is unpacked. And then you would just kind of camp on there and really flesh that out, pulling in other supporting things before then pointing towards Christ, the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a great example of how most people are already doing this is what they do with their Easter sermons. What you do with your Easter sermon is essentially that every year you probably pick a passage and you teach that passage. But as you do that, you're pulling in other aspects of resurrection and what it means for us. And you're building this case, but you have a root text that you're staying in.
Yeah. A root text. I like that. I've never heard that phrase. Did you make that up?
I just did right now.
Man, you heard it here first. That's good. So a root text that we build off of. Now, obviously, there's probably other approaches to this, and maybe we'll have some links in the show notes where you can hear, you know, Ramesh Richard and his thoughts on aspirin versus multivitamins, and there's other stuff. But I think it's good. This is a great contribution that we're making towards the corpus of our podcasts, showing how we're not just slavishly committed to verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter. But yeah, there is room, whether it's on Easter Sunday or whether it's a apologetic series or whether it's during national or international crises to deal with topics. So yeah. So Nick, I'll let you have the last word. Any final encouragements towards the topical preachers amongst us?
Yeah, I would just say, serve your people. That would be my last word, is that the purpose of preaching, right? We love God and we love people. And this is a way in which we can love our people, is by helping them through our preaching. And sometimes the best way to do that is to teach on a particular topic.
Man, absolutely. Yeah. And so we're not here just like, yeah, we're not committed to a tribe or to a philosophy where we just insist we're just going to keep on preaching through Ezekiel no matter what. But yeah, serving people, your people. That's good. Well, cool. Well, thanks, Nick. I appreciate this. And I'm going to go steal your sermon on sacrifice and preach it on Sunday morning.
Can't wait. All right.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening all the way to the end. You know, there was a time during the beginning of that conversation where I really felt like the smart kid in class was helping me with my homework. So hopefully this was beneficial and enriching for all of you, just like how it was for me. Okay, once more, I want to invite you to our webinar, which is going to be on Zoom. It's going to be 9 a.m. West Coast time, December 5th, featuring Thomas Terry. So there's a link in the show notes of this episode. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. There's going to be a link for the Eventbrite registration. You're going to want to register so you can take part in this next webinar. Okay, we have a great, great episode coming out next Tuesday. Make sure you're subscribed so it automatically shows up in your RSS feed app. But I'm going to leave you with a teaser from the next conversation that I get to have with Susie Silk from Church of the City, New York. My next question is, like, how do you feel you've grown since then? What are the ways that you have improved as a Bible teacher since then? You've even mentioned, like, that you get feedback seemingly between services? Like, what's that growth process look like for you for the past 12 years?
Yeah. So I think there's a piece of the growth, which is like, just happens from experience, right? From like, okay, this is how to prep a sermon. Like, these are the commentaries I go to. This is how to listen to the Holy Spirit in the days beforehand. These are maybe the trusted people that if I'm not sure, like I can run this idea by them, I can have them pray for it. So I think like that's been really helpful. And I think, you know, it's really interesting preaching with the same person for a very long time. So I've been, you know, in John Tyson's like community and congregations for basically my whole adult life and began preaching with him. Although at different points in time, as we started different church locations, there was times where I was preaching with a different pastor or whatever. But I think learning from other preachers has been helpful, and not necessarily learning as in like I study and mimic their style, mm-hmm. but I think learning like my voice versus their voice, but also yeah. like sitting under their teaching has also like shaped the way and changed some of the ways I think. And so, you know, I think John Tyson is great about like reading a huge amount of authors and, you know, curating a bunch of different quotes and thoughts. And so that's helpful for me because I don't tend to approach preaching that way. I tend to be, I'm getting my doctorate in Hebrew literature and like working towards like sort of that sort of like level sure. of minutia around the text.
Yeah. You have a focused view.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's helpful to have like this balance, to be reminded of like bring in other quotes, bring in other illustrations. You know, I spent a little period of time around somebody who's like super shepherding and pastoral. Mm-hmm. And when I was in that section of our congregation, I also was in a community that was much more open to altar calls, the charismatic, a prophetic word. And that taught me to like do responses differently. So I think that's been a lot of my journey is sort of like different experiences and learning from that and then taking that and using it when it is appropriate for the sermon that I'm teaching on. And then of course I spent a lot of time in academia. So that's been helpful, you know, getting my master's and now working in my doctorate and teaching and just like, you know, learning more of that background. And then in terms of feedback, yes, I've been lucky that most of the time I can get feedback immediately after the first sermon. Now in the virtual world, I don't get any feedback at all. But early on, it was really helpful to hear, I think for my own confidence, like, oh, Jesus did talk to you. Like you did learn something. This made sense. Yeah. It wasn't just in my brain. So like that was helpful. And then also, you know, I think what God, like listening to how God had used the sermon also helped me know when I would go sometimes into the next time preaching it, oh, this is exactly what the Lord is doing. So I can like really push this point more, or spend more time on it. So I think like that's been the combination is like being around other preachers, spending time in an academic world and really studying the text, getting feedback from the people and then just doing it a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Reps. Yeah. In a interview that I did with John Tyson earlier, he just said flat out, he's like, you know, mate, I'm not much of a teacher. He's like, that's what Susie is for, you know? And so he emphasizes really the distinction. So you're able to learn from him and learn alongside, but yet he believes, and you certainly affirm that you guys are very, very different. And we would almost like, we would lose Susie's voice if she just tried to be like another version of John. And that's a valuable and helpful thing. I'm glad that you have the confidence to be able to be very distinct in each of these lanes.